I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on a bitterly cold Monday morning, February the 5th. Lots of schools are closed this morning. Lots of cars aren't starting. Hope your furnace is running and hope you will join in as we talk about talk programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the first Monday of the month, and that's the day and at this time that we set aside for Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, to share news with you, to answer your questions, and to hear your feedback about what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio and what you want to hear or what you would like from Wisconsin Public Radio to serve you better. And we decided we would do something a little bit different this month. And for some subsequent months, instead of just hearing a little bit about everything or maybe the same things month after month after month, we decided that we would focus each hour on a particular type of programming, at least for a while, to find out what you think of this hour, the call-in talk shows that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, our talk programming, the programs that are hosted by yours truly, by Kathleen Dunn, Larry Mueller, Ben Marins, and might as well talk some about the national offerings we have as well, like Talk of the Nation and On Point. We welcome your thoughts, your questions, your feedback on the talk programs that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. If you want to send an email, you can do that too. talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Well, let me welcome first Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo, who is one of the victims of a very cold car battery this morning. Your car wouldn't start, Phil?
Good morning, Joy. Yes, and it's ironic because you know how much I like guests to be in the studio instead of on the phone, so I guess I'll be more understanding now.
See, there we go. That indeed is one of the things that we are trying to do at Wisconsin Public Radio, when possible, is to have guests either in the studio or in a studio somewhere, sounding better for listeners. But Phil, we appreciate you joining by phone anyway. Also joining us, her car did start this morning, is Wisconsin Public Radio's Assistant Director for Talk Programming, Cheryl Gasser. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Joy. So glad to be here.
And again, our number, if you have a thought or a question about talk programming that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio here on the Ideas Network, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And Phil, I want to start with sharing with you an email that we got from a listener that is one of the reasons that I thought about doing something a little bit different this time around. Here is the email. Wisconsin Public Radio is suffering from a very severe case of feminization. From dawn until four, we have a woman's perspective. At first, I thought Joy was great, but more and more, she's succumbed to the Ladies Home Journal type of material. I'm editing his email. He didn't say that. He used a word that I don't want to say. Jean Faraca has to be, this is his opinion, airhead of the airwaves. I only get 1 hour of male perspective each day, Ben Marins. Well, Larry Mueller, no one can complain about him, man, woman, or child, but the other programs try to tackle other issues. And Phil Corvo, coming in monthly, doesn't do squat. People complain about the same things every month, and he gives the same answers, and nothing happens. So, Phil, let me start with why don't we change things based on callers calling in during these monthly hours? We do hear some of the same complaints time after time, especially since the program changes. Somebody will say, "I miss this program," or "I miss that program," or "Why did you change this? Change it back." How come things have stayed the same?
Well, we look for trends when we have call-in programs and common themes. We get input at Wisconsin Public Radio from a number of sources. One is audience ratings from Arbitron. We are measured every quarter and get estimates on how many people are listening to various programs. We receive a lot of emails and phone calls during the course of a month, and they're all transcribed and distributed to the staff And then there's call-in programs like this. So, you know, there are a lot of sources of input. This is an important one. Regarding the letter or the email that you just read, Joy, I don't think in terms of male or female when I think of our hosts. I think of in terms of good or bad, and I think we have a pretty good lineup of hosts. I'll point out that the two national talk shows that we carry, On Point and Talk of the Nation, are both generally hosted by males. So I think that overall there's a pretty good mix.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, you want to get in on this one?
Well, I would certainly chime in to say that the topics that we cover certainly are of interest to men and women, and I think that you and Kathleen and Jean and Larry and Neil Conan and Ben all do a wonderful job. The topics that we cover here in the morning and that Kathleen covers, you know, Iraq and the latest in politics, they're certainly not issues that are only of interest to women. This afternoon, I think Jean's talking about Cuba and Castro, and so issues that really matter to all of us, to all of our listeners, and I think that's what matters.
Yeah. Once in a while, we do, on this particular program, maybe earlier in the morning sometimes, we will do some health programming or education programming or lighter issues. This morning we did something on the Super Bowl ads. So, and I don't know if that's what the listener is referring to when he says ladies home journal type of programming, but we try to mix it up a little bit, right, in the morning, Cheryl?
We absolutely do. A mix of fun and light on occasion, but mostly serious and important issues that, as we say, that matter to you.
Yeah. What we generally try to do during this program is we do try to cover state and national issues. I think we have more of a focus on state and national issues during this program, though we certainly do talk about international issues as well. Kathleen Dunn tends to focus more on national and international issues as well as some lifestyle issues. Larry Mueller will do a lot of advice or lifestyle programming, a lot of information and advice from guest experts. Gene Faraca, more international or global cultural issues. And Ben Marin's, state and national issues, right?
That is it. And again, I mean, I think all of our hosts are willing to cover whatever the topic of the day is. And we certainly want to hear from listeners with topics that you'd like to have covered. So if the listener who thinks that, you know, it's become too lady home journalish, I'd love to hear some ideas from him about what he would like to hear and specifics on what he doesn't like.
Yeah. And we go ahead, Phil.
Joy, also, it would be good to hear from listeners as to how they feel about the balance between state and national and international issues. We do try with our local programs that are produced in Wisconsin to focus on Wisconsin issues as much as possible, because that differentiates us from Talk of the Nation or On Point, for example. But it would be good to hear if listeners are interested in Wisconsin ideas.
Well, I hope they are, too. Here's an email that we did receive just within the last week. The State Capitol Report on Cardine's show is the best Wisconsin Public Radio informational program we have heard. Gives us a recap of state legislation that we are unable to search out on our own due to needing time to make a living. This gives us a heads up if the legislation affects our living, and we can contact our legislator prior to laws taking effect. So keep up the good work and keep this program going. The State Capitol Report is what I just did with Sean Johnson in our 7 o'clock hour this morning. Every Monday after 7 o'clock, we want to focus in on issues facing state government and issues that are being debated under the State Capitol Dome. And we just did that. What I'm curious, too, is whether you indeed appreciate this kind of programming. Are you listening to what's going on? You know what? You're not calling. And sometimes, Cheryl, that makes me question whether we're talking about an issue that really matters to you, because so far we have not received a lot of caller participation during the State Capitol Report, which is that new Monday 7 o'clock feature.
We haven't, and it does concern us somewhat. It could also be that the show is simply so amazingly wonderful that people are just listening and don't need to call in. But we are a caller-based program, a caller-based network, and we do want to hear from you, especially during new hours that we're trying out. I know it's difficult during that hour because you're switching topics so quickly, but if there's an issue, just like on the Weekend Review, an issue you haven't heard brought up yet but that you know is in the news, you know something going on this week at the Capitol, or you have a question and want an update on something you've heard about in recent days, that's a great time to call in. So next Friday, 7 o'clock, you know, make sure that you call in and join the discussion during that program. But we'd love to hear from you as well during this hour about whether you enjoy the program.
Yeah. Phil, what do you think of the State Capitol report?
I think that's one of our primary missions, is to try to bring what's happening to the state capitol to the people of Wisconsin. I really think that, and our election coverage is also a very important part of what we do to help people be more informed voters. Cheryl brought up an item too that we talk about as staff. I'm wondering if our listeners think that an hour is too long or too short for a single topic, what are your feelings about that?
Yeah, I would like to know that too. We're going to get Phil on another telephone line to see if we can fix that static that we're hearing. And then we will take your calls at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo, and Wisconsin Public Radio's Assistant Director of Talk Programming, Cheryl Gasser. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll join Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins after 5. Continuing the Great Decisions series, Ben will talk with a representative of UNICEF about the task of protecting children in nations in conflict. That's At Issue with Ben Marins, the Great Decisions series, every Monday after 5 for the next few weeks. We are talking with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo, and with Wisconsin Public Radio's assistant director of talk programming, Cheryl Gasser, getting your input on how our Wisconsin Public Radio talk shows can serve you better. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Let me take a call, Bob in Stevens Point. Hi, Bob, you're on the air.
Okay, it started out when you used to overdose on Martin Luther King Day. You finally changed that, I think. But when it comes to the president's speech and the governor's speech, Joy, there is not 3 hours back-to-back, followed by maybe Kathleen doing an hour or two on either of those days. I think you call-in hosts should get together and limit yourself to 1 hour that you can talk about it. It gets repetitious. The callers keep saying the same thing, and, you know, you get another guest on there probably with a different viewpoint. It all comes out the same. So I think more than 1 hour.
Yeah, so what hour should that be, Bob?
It makes no difference to me. It would make no, well, but 3 hours, Joy. What could you, first of all, a State of the Nation speech is general anyway. Now,
the State of the Union and the State of the State, certainly a whole bunch of different proposals come up, so you're talking about a whole bunch of different proposals in that coverage. We do try to switch the guests. As you say, we have a different guest sometimes every half an hour, or maybe a guest for the full hour, but we bring in some various guests throughout the hour to also react to an area that's particularly relevant to them. So I appreciate your feedback, but, you know, one of the reasons I think that it's a good idea to do more than 1 hour of programming is because people are coming and going and waking up at different times in the early morning, Bob, and not everybody is with us for all 3 hours, including what Kathleen does. Very few people are necessarily with us for the entire time. Usually they're up, they get up, turn on the radio, maybe they drive to work here, a half hour of the program, and that's as long as they're with us. So by providing a reaction all morning long, you get a little taste no matter when you wake up.
If the shows came out that way, maybe you should listen to them and see if that's what actually happens. To me, they all come up talking about the same general topics, and the people who don't like the president will call in and mention Halliburton or some such. You know, it's callers are probably to blame, too, for some of that. But I know what you're doing. I see the different guests, and I see, but maybe stick to it.
What do you mean, stick to it?
Stick to that guest topic, and but I don't hear it that way. I just find 3 hours of repetition.
And I appreciate the feedback. And we don't do that all the time, but we have done it after the State of the Union and after the State of the State. We never did it for Martin Luther King Day, Bob. So I'm not sure what you meant by that. But Cheryl, you want to weigh in on this?
Sure. I mean, I think for Martin Luther King, he may be talking in years past. You know, maybe you've done an hour, and Kathleen's mm-hmm. done an hour, and Ben's done an hour on different topics, some on Martin Luther King himself, some on race relations mm-hmm. in general. I think this year it was a little bit different. But with the coverage of the State of the State and the State of the Union, it's so interesting to hear different perspectives. I've heard from many listeners and staff members and friends that they thought that was some of the best coverage we've ever had. And so it's certainly different strokes for different folks. It sounds like Bob listens for a long period of time, and as you say, most people come and go.
Here's a couple of comments, just speaking of which, coverage of President's speech, wonderful. Commends the hosts and the producers. This listener says, the guests were good, has heard Cardine, Dunn, and is looking forward to Marin's. And another one that says, Joy's recent programs have been very good, especially the programs after the president's speech. The program with the legislators was very exciting. We had all of the we invited all of our congressional representatives from Wisconsin to join during the 8 o'clock hour following the State of the Union, and we had a good half dozen or so of our congresspeople joining in, and a lot of listeners said that they appreciated being able to hear from their member of Congress reacting. So I think we have Phil Corvo back. Phil, are you there?
Yes, I'm back.
All right. What do you think of having 3 hours? Bob and Stevens Point thought that having multiple hours of coverage following a special event like the State of the Union or the State of the State is too long.
Well, I think when there are major events that affect people's lives, and another example, I guess, is after the elections, we do tend to focus a lot about that overall general topic, but each hour we try to differentiate and explore different aspects of the topic. So maybe we're not differentiating enough.
Yeah, we'll certainly think about that, Bob. There will be the state budget address on February 13th. The Governor Doyle will be presenting his budget proposals to the state legislature. 7 p.m. on February 13th, we will be carrying live coverage of that address. We will have Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, and Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg co-anchoring this coverage. And the following morning, I was planning on Cheryl having different guests, maybe a different guest every half hour or every hour, with the other guests coming in, multiple guests, different perspectives, talking about the many different areas of state government that need our taxpayer dollars and what's going to happen with this next state budget. So
And we really try to decide how much there is to talk about each issue. You know, we take a look at the State of the Union, the State of the State, the budget address, elections, and if we can't fill those 3 hours with guests with differing perspectives and interesting angles, then we won't do it. But I think we have done in the past, and we'll continue to do that from time to time. One more thing I wanted to bring up, Joy, Phil's mentioned election coverage a few different times this morning, and this Thursday and Friday at 7 o'clock, you will be talking with all three of the candidates for Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. That's starting this Thursday at 7 o'clock. And that's another way that Wisconsin Public Radio helps you make up your mind, keeps you in touch with the issues of the day. And this is for the spring election just a few weeks away.
Well, there's a primary on February 20th, and you have to choose between three candidates running for a state Supreme Court justice. We'll have those three candidates on. Then the primary, of course, whittles it down to the top two, and we'll do this again before the general election, which is in April. So that's another part of our mission, right, Phil Corvo?
Right. Mm-hmm. I also want to point out that another part of our mission is to explore topics in some depth, and so we do try to run the balance between staying interesting and having a variety of topics and exploring them in some depth, because if we don't, there's really not much point to it. So it's a tricky line to balance, but I'd be interested in hearing from more listeners how they feel about it.
Yeah, me too. Let's thank you very much, Bob, for the call. Tom in Fond du Lac is with us now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. First of all, I should say I love your call-in shows. But I would make one suggestion, or I have a thought. Usually the hosts rephrase the caller's question, and sometimes nuances are lost when the host interposes herself between the caller and the guest. And I'm just wondering if that's always necessary. And one other comment.
Well, let me rephrase your question. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom. What else?
Yeah, I just had another thought. Some of the best programs you do is when the guest doesn't show up, but you have a topic to discuss. And I don't know where you could go with that, but they are very, very entertaining and often very enlightening.
So you like it when a guest doesn't show up that the host still talks about the issue that was going to be talked about.
Correct.
In more of an open line type of a thing. But, yeah. Cheryl, should we do more of that more often?
Well, I know that certainly there are some hosts who really enjoy doing them and others who don't like them as much. We try not to schedule them that way very often because guests do fall through from time to time and we do need to have those open lines. You know, certainly we love to hear from listeners. It's a very important part of the program, but we also want you to hear from that guest, that expert, that point of view, so give you a chance to talk with them as well. And so I think, you know, every show throughout the weeks, you will hear programs like that, whether they're scheduled or not. But we can certainly consider scheduling more programs like that from time to time.
Yeah. Once in a while, I plead guilty to rephrasing a caller's question. I will do that sometimes because maybe the question is veering off into some other territory that's not really the guest's expertise, or it's veering off topic a little bit. So I try to bring it back to what we're the issue at hand. So I will plead guilty to doing that every once in a while, Tom, and I will try to refrain from doing it unnecessarily. How's that? Phil, what do you think?
Well, right. And and it's also helpful sometimes to just make sure that the question is understood and that that we're on common ground. But I don't mind hearing that, frankly, because people are listening a lot in cars, and they're distracted, and they don't hear a particular part of a question, so that doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Kevin in St. Lawrence. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. How are you doing?
Very good.
Well, good. What I'd like to talk about is caller participation. I think sometimes, not just you in particular, but sometimes you, Joy, you don't get a whole lot out of the callers. The guest will talk for 15 or 20 minutes, and then you might take a call, and then another 5 or 10 minutes of back and forth with the guest. And I find the callers, what the callers have to say, a lot of times much more interesting and enlightening.
Mm-hmm. So you want to
really
hear more? You want to hear more callers and less of the guest and the host, and more from the callers.
Yes, ma'am. And the other day on the 9 o'clock hour, Kathleen, her guest didn't, for whatever reason, couldn't make it. And, you know, she just had callers on for the hour, and I really find the opinions of the Wisconsinites fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kevin. Cheryl, what do you think?
Well, I know that when, as someone who screens calls for you on occasion and sees it happening, when the phone lines are full, Joy and other hosts go through them as quickly as they can. We don't keep callers on hold so we can just talk with our guests and make the callers wait. I think sometimes, Kevin, what you're hearing is there aren't callers on the line ready to go, ready to talk with Joy, or perhaps the call screener is still speaking with them to figure out what it is that they want to say when they're on the air. And so I believe that's the case with Joy. I'm sure you can speak for yourself that when the callers are there, you go through them. You may not race through them quickly, as Kevin would like, but we try and get as many points of view on the air as we can in the hour, and we welcome calls. It's a very important part of the program.
Oh, I value our callers' participation in these call-in shows. Once in a while, and Kevin, I'm sure you don't do this, but a caller might bring up several different points, and then you are then addressing all of those different points with the guests, and you maybe don't get to another call within minutes, but within 5 or 10 minutes, you know, because it takes a while to go through some multiple points sometimes. Phil Corvo, you want to weigh in on caller participation?
Well, I kind of think of the balance is something that we always talk about. Mm-hmm. The callers, one of the purposes of the calls is to help advance the topic that the guest is presenting, and to explore it in ways that are different and varied that one person can't do. So, in that sense, I think the guest does need a larger proportion of time to talk and to talk around the aspects of the topic that the listeners bring up. But we do hear from I hear from listeners that say that why don't you take more calls, kind of thing. So it's a tough balance, but I think the balance is pretty good right now.
Yeah, and certainly, again, value caller participation. Cheryl, let's talk a little bit about our call screening process and what we're considering doing to make sure that we provide the best call-in programming that we can.
What I found out, I went recently to a Prindy conference in Washington, D.C.
Prindy being?
The Public Radio News Director organization, and they actually put a talk show conference on usually once a year, and lucky enough to get to go this year and talk with a number of other talk hosts and producers from around the nation, and this one was actually hosted at NPR, so we got to see how it's done there. As well, and what I learned is we had a very lenient call screening policy. You know, we would call in, you call in and we ask you your name, your city, and what you want to say. And as long as you're on topic, we pretty much would, put you on the air. And, well, that worked for us for a while. But what we learned is, we need to decide whether what the caller is saying is adding to the conversation. Maybe it was something the question was asked and answered. Maybe the caller shouldn't go on the air, but perhaps the on-air producer can answer that question for them, or they can go back and listen to the show. So some of the things that we're considering doing is being stricter in our call screening in order to improve what you hear on the air. Asking, what you want to say up front to see if it's a question that's already been answered, a topic that's been answered, if it's really within the guest's area of expertise. And so we're going to be a little stricter on you when you call in, but we think that will make the program much better. So I'm interested to hear from listeners who've gone through the policy. We've been doing it sort of unofficially for a month or two, and want to hear what you think if you have been calling in, and if you've been listening, what you think, if you really have heard the difference. I think that I've heard a difference so far, and it's been a good one. But we don't have anything official yet, but I know, Joy, that we are working right now on sort of caller tips, a call screening policy, and tips for listeners who want to call into the show. We're working on this. We'll post this on our website very soon, and it'll give you tips like, know what you want to say when you call into the program, know what the topic is, know what the guest's area of expertise is, and the like. And so there'll be some tips posted on our website for you very soon.
Mm-hmm. Another thing to remember is that, there are right now, there are upwards of 20,000 listeners listening to this program, and maybe 10 or 15 calls during the program. So the program has to be focused around the topic and not primarily listener focused, except for those programs that are designed to do that. So we have to remember that there are another 20,000 or so people listening as well. I would also point out that Wisconsin Public Radio does more call-in talk programming than any other public radio entity in the country. We produce about 10 hours a day during the weekdays, and we do it with a staff that is, let's just say, smaller than that of National Public Radio when they do Talk of the Nation. So we don't have those kinds of resources, but we try to do the best we can.
Sure.
One more thing that we are trying to do when we have a program with a guest with a certain perspective and we have the call-in lines filled with people either agreeing or disagreeing, but all on one side of the issue, you may hear us ask you when you call in, we voice your opinion, and we may ask you to please call back at another time. We're trying to keep a line or two open. This is new, a line or two open for different points of view, and it may be frustrating to you as a caller. But we hope that you understand that, again, it's for the greater good, for the diversity in our programming, the diversity of voices. We don't want to have all the guests calling in yelling at a guest or all the guests calling in patting him on the back. We want a real discussion to happen. And part of that is keeping a line open for different points of view.
We are talking about talk programming on Wisconsin Public Radio, the call-in talk shows that you can hear weekdays for the most part, including this one. It is the focus of our discussion with Phil Corvo this month. Phil joins us once a month. He is Wisconsin Public Radio's director, the first Monday of the month, to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. Also joining us, Cheryl Gasser, assistant talk director for Wisconsin Public Radio. We're doing something a little bit different this month with Phil's appearance, focusing in on one type of one area of programming, that being the talk programming. And we thought that we could talk about classical music another month, talk about engineering issues maybe and technical issues another month, and talking about our news programming in particular another month. So that way we can really go into depth into various parts of our programming rather than sometimes just hearing a little bit about everything during one of these hours. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned on this Monday, February the 5th. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. And after 9, Kathleen and her guest will discuss the ongoing CIA leak trial of former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby. That's coming up after 9 o'clock. Here's an email that we received during the past month that I'd like Cheryl Gasser and Phil Corvo to react to. Unbridled and shameless liberalism of the radical ilk would be very accurate descriptions of your recent and growing bias. You would think that Wisconsin Public Radio won the last election. Your outrageous partiality dishonors all of you and puts the light to your intellectual shallowness. Your thinking is so inbred, your guests only echo your own deaf archetype, so much so that one pictures a studio full of cousins who look far too much alike. It goes on, but Phil Corvo, this particular listener is very upset, believing that Wisconsin Public Radio is biased to the left, way to the left.
Well, we get a significant number of emails and calls saying that we're biased to the left. We also get some that say we're biased to the right. Mm-hmm. We do try very hard to maintain a balance of guests that have a variety of viewpoints, and that's a good start. But I think sometimes what the callers refer to is, and maybe what this letter refers to, although it was made in a very strong way. But sometimes the callers object to the way they perceive that the hosts are treated on the air, and that may or may not be an important factor. We're working on, in fact, we just started last week to work on a series of regular air checking of our hosts to really analyze how the hosts handle the guests, and I think that was helpful, and it's something that we'll continue to work on. We do try one of our basic precepts is to be fair and to offer a fair and civil discourse and a variety of guests. But we do hear that part of what the Ideas Network is about is bringing different ideas to the people of Wisconsin. And when you bring different ideas, sometimes that's interpreted as being liberal.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, you want to talk about what we do try to do to make sure that we are at least providing more than views from the left on Wisconsin Public Radio?
We have a number of things that we do on the production end, one of which is monthly balance reports. Each of the programs that has political content, so Joy Cardine, Kathleen Dunn, Ben Mearens, the producers of that show do monthly balance reports. They take a look at the guests, whether they're Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, a number of categories that we place them in. And we take a look at and how are we leaning left or are we leaning right? And that, of course, is monthly. It's something you look at the end of the month. But all the producers and the hosts are encouraged to look at you know, how do we lean today? And what does that mean for our programming tomorrow? We do have a balance over time. So perhaps if the listener is listening on a given day or in a given week, we may be leaning one way or the other, but trust that over time we will be balanced. We also have daily meetings with the producers to make sure that if we're covering something like the latest on the Iraq War, that we're not always going after the same types of guests. Maybe Joy's doing something in the morning with a conservative and Ben maybe doing something with a liberal. But again, over time, each show within its own hour time slot during the day is going to be balanced with different points of view.
Yeah. Let's go to Alta in Eau Claire. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. This kind of ties into my question, ties into what you were just talking about. When Joy was gone last week, there was a male interviewer on. I'm sorry to remember.
Oh, thanks to Gene Purcell for filling in for me on Thursday and Friday of last week. Yes.
Well, he didn't do as good a job as you do.
Very nice, but he does a very good job, Alta. But what did he do that you didn't like?
It was the guest he had. I think it was Thursday morning. He was going to talk about I don't know if it was a bill or an amendment or a statement.
So you didn't like his guest?
It's about Russ Feingold. He's our senator. We want to know what's going on in Washington with Russ Feingold. And before the Judiciary Committee, he challenged the other senators to do their constitutional duty.
Right. Alta, we know that Russ Feingold introduced a resolution to defund the troops in Iraq.
But they didn't really talk about what he said. They got off onto the Senate amendments that Republicans were giving.
You know, I did hear a little bit of this, Alta. Thanks very much, because even though I was off, I was still listening as I was shivering at home. that was because there was developments in those non-binding resolutions, Cheryl, right?
That's right. Gene Purcell filling in for you, Joy, talked with a political scientist, Joe Greco, and while we were planning on spending the entire hour on Russ Feingold's resolution, it came across the Associated Press wire that morning, kind of breaking news about the Senate resolution. And so Gene did what any host, I think, would do in that situation. And he mixed it up and he started with sort of the breaking news out of the Senate and then went into the rest of the hour. And I think it did kind of go back and forth because, of course, they're tied and you can't talk about one without talking about the other necessarily. We do also have a call into Senator Feingold's office to get him on this program or any other Wisconsin Public Radio program, just FYI.
Yeah. So there's an example, Phil, of a listener who would like to have heard a full hour on the one topic of Russ Feingold's resolution and didn't want to hear it mixed up like that.
Right, and it's sometimes hard to predict where the conversation will go. Sometimes an interesting twist to it comes up, or one that at least the host and guest think is interesting, and it goes and the caller, and it goes in that direction.
And our listeners have different viewpoints on this. Katie in Madison sent us an email, and she said, "I would like to hear more from the guests and less from the callers. I think the current balance is good. I find the callers usually the least valuable part of the show and am disappointed when a guest I'm interested in does not get enough time to speak." So it just varies. Opinions vary on that. Pat in Richland Center is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Say, this kind of ties into a previous couple of callers that were saying, you know, how the host sometimes rephrases what the callers say and so forth like that. But I guess to take it just a little bit farther, when you have a guest on Wisconsin Public Radio, doesn't that imply when they agree to go on the air on a given subject that they should be able to kind of fend for themselves on there and not expect the host to have to kind of stick up for them if the questions that are being asked are respectful? And hopefully it's, you know, everybody out there knows that it's so much easier to get on the air and just give your opinion. That doesn't really take much thought process. However, to come up with a really good question that everybody can understand that gets to the point, particularly when the stakes are real high, I know it might come across as being kind of hard on the guests, but if they're advocating a position that's going to cause a lot of human suffering, it doesn't it seem like kind of a low threshold to make him squirm just a little to ask him a question?
Well, it's a good question. I suppose that's directed more to me, Pat, as a host, whether hosts feel an obligation to defend the guest or protect the guest. And no, not necessarily an obligation to protect the guest. They should be able to answer issue-oriented questions on the topic that we are addressing. I sometimes will step in. For example, I brought in a caller last week who was talking to Dinesh D'Souza, who is a conservative commentator. And instead of saying, this is the issue I want to comment on or ask our guest about, he started right away with, your guest is intellectually dishonest and really a liar. And it was not talking about an issue. It was personally attacking the guest. And that is not respectful. And I do jump in to say, please don't name call this guest. You can disagree with the guest and ask something, challenge the guest, but don't start throwing those kinds of insults around, personal insults. So that's one thing I think a host does try to protect the guest that way. Pat, you wanted to add, we're talking about the Iraq War, and you wanted to know if the guest had any children because the guest was supporting the war effort in Iraq. And I think I did make a comment about I'm not sure that that's really fair or relevant to ask. And maybe it was fine. Maybe we could have let that guest squirm, but we're talking about the policy, not whether this person had children that were in the war. Cheryl, you want to weigh in?
Well, I think that what you say is accurate. You know, we want our callers to be civil. We want them to be challenging. We encourage that. We hope that we get calls during every hour that will further the discussion, that will challenge the guests, that will make them think in a different way. And it's something that is very important to us, and we don't shy away from that. I don't think it's the host's role to sort of guard and protect the guests from the callers, but I don't think that they do that. Mm-hmm. At least I haven't heard that.
Yeah, Phil.
Yeah, I think you've you've summarized it well.
Yeah, Stephen Racine. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to comment on the quality of your guest's English. It's gotten to the point where it's ridiculous to listen to. Every tenth word is or er. I didn't know that these were words. And to make a point, if you three would listen to this radio show and count the number of times each one of you has said you'll find it's over 100. I just find that ridiculous. If this would have been in school, you would have been thrown out. You'd have been laughed out of the English class. Jean Ferraca is supposedly an English major, and her guests are so far off the wall, it's ridiculous to listen to. You just can't listen to a show like that.
Steve, thank you very much for the call. So not just the guests, the hosts also say or. It's conversation, Cheryl Gasser, and sometimes in conversation you say or.
Sometimes you do. It is something that came up in the air checks, and it's something we all want to be conscious of, not overdoing it. Maybe in an ideal world, those words or sounds wouldn't be uttered, but they are, just like that one. It is sort of natural conversation, but I appreciate Steve's comments, and we'll take them.
Yeah,
seriously.
And we are, as Phil mentioned, we are doing these air checks, and we're going to try to eliminate unnecessary ums and ers. But every once in a while, these are not pre-recorded, edited shows, and once in a while, you're going to get an or an out of somebody. We did get an email too. I don't know if you have noticed, but a number of your guests have littered their commentary with a lot of you knows, and then the guest went on, or the listener went on with all sorts of examples of guests saying you know. Language quirks, Phil Corvo, can get under our skin, right?
Yes, and it's always a good reminder. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it sometimes, and that's why we do air checking, to remind ourselves how we sound. Talk radio is live, and as you pointed out, Joy, it's live radio is a different animal. It's harder to do in a lot of ways. We can't edit the broadcast like pre-recorded broadcasts, so we need to be reminded of these things, and thank you for that reminder.
Got an email also this month, and this has come up before. We heard it on this program, a caller who said, thanks for taking my call, or good morning, how are you? A little small talk. And this particular emailer says, can you wean your callers out of saying that? Can you tell them, don't say that? Cheryl, should we tell callers to not say thanks for taking my call or any kind of nicety?
We've tried that from time to time when a caller in the discussion with the on-air producer who answers the phone when you call in, if they sound like they're, you know, they tell you, you know, thanks for taking my call. And we may say to them, you know, please, the phone lines, it's busy this hour. Just get right to your comment, right to your call. And even if we tell people that, inevitably, they'll get on the air and they'll say, Joy, thanks for taking my call, or this is my first call. Some people just, it's just in their nature. It's just what they want to do. I think that it's great, though, if you just get right to the point and get into the discussion. But again, it's human nature and it's conversation.
I know it annoys some people, but to me, it's just like saying good morning. It's just a quick, it takes about 2 seconds and it mm-hmm. doesn't bother me.
Ken in Albany is with us. Hi, Ken.
Hello. My contention as far as screeners go is that your calls are screened so that they fall within a range of conventional wisdom. And anything that comes outside of, you know, what's conventional is rejected. And that's why your programs seem tilted one way or the other, you know, depending on the producer or screener.
Yeah, so our shows come across as liberal because we reject callers that are not conventional?
Correct.
Okay, Cheryl?
Do you mean, I'm wondering if Ken means we let go conservative points of view, because again, we do not screen for political point of view at all. There is a sort of a common sense, a range. The guest is someone who has an expertise in a certain area. Maybe it's politics, maybe it's economics, but they can't answer any and every question. And so we do need to limit it in that way.
Yeah, Phil, you get the last minute.
Well, I that's right. I agree with Cheryl. We don't try to screen callers based on their political inclination. We do try to look for the widest viewpoint in terms of callers, and sometimes we succeed, sometimes we fail. Again, I'll just wrap up by saying talk radio is live radio. We can't control who calls. We can't control everything that the guest says because it's not edited. But I think talk radio is what embodies what radio is all about. We can be live and we can be local.
Phil, thanks for being with us. Hope your car starts.
I'm going to call AAA right now.
We'll see you later, I hope. Okay. Phil Corvo, Wisconsin Public Radio's director, and Cheryl Gasser, thank you.
Thank you.
Cheryl is our assistant director of talk programming here on the Ideas Network. Thanks to Cale Plowman for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.